Hi, everyone. This is Amy, your host for Eyes on the Right podcast. And I'm happy to be back here today with you guys. I took a little time off, but I'm back and I'm ready to talk about some interesting things today. So I'd like to dive into the music industry. There has been so much talk about Taylor Swift. I know the dreaded name, right? We have been hearing her so much, but it's worth talking about. Taylor Swift, Lana Del Rey, Ariana Grande. There are so many celebrities who are artists who are seemingly bringing in Satanism and this darker side of the supernatural and witchcraft into their music. And so what does this look like for us? How do we even approach this topic? It is so broad, and yet I want to tackle it because I think it's worth talking about. It's worth bringing into the light. And what you all decide to do after hearing this is on you. But I think it's worth mentioning that we just need to be very aware of what is happening in our society today. I think back to Astroworld, and that was really one of the main events, I would say, that woke a lot of people up. If you guys travel back to Astroworld, when Travis Scott had this huge concert outside and it looked like a portal, people saw what looked like demons jumping around. They caught him on camera. Really weird supernatural things. In fact, there were people, a lot of people that died, unfortunately, at that concert. And you can't help but think, is there something more to these concerts and these festivals that they are trying to invoke into society? We would be remiss if we didn't travel back and look at the Tavistock Institute and how that had its influence on the 50s, the 60s, that kind of culture, the hippie culture where drugs and music were involved so much, and what that did on a macro level to society. It really was, to me, what looked like a mass experiment to see how people would react to music. And we know that music influences us. In fact, it really touches on our emotions and stirs us up. Think about right now one of your favorite songs. And as you think about that song, you can almost travel back in time and know exactly where you were when you heard that song. I know I can. And there's a reason why our brain connects that way to memories. It's really important. And I think that a lot of these elitists have studied this, the psychology of our brains and how they work, not only in mind control, but how music impacts us to manipulate us and also bring about some spiritual access, if you will, to our minds, which is our soul. And many of you guys who listen know that our soul is part of the tripartite way that we are made. We have the physical body. We have our soul, which constitutes the mind, the will, and the emotions. And then we have our spirit. And so we are a three-part body, and we have to realize that the enemy is after our mind. And if he can get into our soul, our mind, our heart, our eyes, our ears, and influence us, he will. So let's kind of take it back. I'd actually like to set the stage with what the Bible has to say, because once we build off this baseline, then we're going to see how the enemy takes it and twists it and turns it into something different. 1 Samuel 16:14-16 and 23 says this. Now the spirit of the Lord had departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord tormented him. Saul's attendants said to him, "See, an evil spirit from God is tormenting you. Let our Lord command his servants here to search for someone who can play the harp. He will play when the evil spirit from God comes upon you, and you will feel better." Whenever the spirit from God came upon Saul, David would take his harp and play. Then relief would come to Saul. He would feel better, and the evil spirit would leave him. So this is a really interesting verse, and we could probably spend some time on it. But what I want to focus on is the fact that David actually used his harp without lyrics, mind you, as a weapon of spiritual warfare. And so what's interesting about this verse is there weren't even lyrics being sang. It was just his harp. And as he played, relief would come onto Saul. He would feel better, and the evil spirit would leave him. So this is something to think about, because when we look at music, can we say that it's spiritually neutral if it's Christian or if it's instrumental? But according to this, why is David's simple harp playing something that would cause a demon to leave? That kind of begs to question when you look at that verse. And so if there's instrumental music that can cause a demon to leave, does that mean that the enemy can then twist that and invoke demons with music as well. And that's kind of what I want to talk about today, because we know that the enemy, and when I say enemy, I just mean the devil, I mean Satan, right? I'm looking at it from a scriptural lens. The devil can't create, so he can just imitate. And most of the stuff, as many of you guys know that have followed me or done your own research, he's taken everything that was intended for good in God's creation, whether it be the sun, the moon, the stars, or animals like the owl. You know, everything is so deeply connected now to the Illuminati and secret societies. Why is that? Because the enemy is trying to pervert God's creation. So anything that God has that he has intended for good, and in this case, it's music, he's intended music for good. And the enemy is using that to pervert it in the music industry. But when we look at music being used for good or for evil, my point in saying all of that is to know that with anything in the world, there is the use of it for a good cause and the use of it for an evil cause. And when we look at the music industry, we have to be as wise as serpents and as innocent as doves, because we would just be foolish if we didn't think that the enemy would be using music to influence the masses. And if you look back and you kind of think of ancient traditions, whether it be voodoo or shaman rituals, a lot of times, specifically in voodoo, they will have drums or certain cadences that will call out to the ancestors to invoke a spirit. And so even in the case of voodoo on the evil side, you see this idea of just a beat or a cadence or drum, something that is only instrumental without lyrics, being used to invoke the supernatural. And it's interesting. I mean, when you start to look at this subject, it is so vast, because you could literally take it down so many different rows. I mean, when you look at even the blues and jazz, and you start to go back in time, you know, the devil goes down to Georgia, right? You look at some of these songs, they're steeped and rooted in the voodoo culture. And so music is deeply integrated into the demonic. And we can see that with a lot of artists. I'm going to read from an article from the Huffington Post, and it's talking about voodoo mixed in with music. And it says, "The voodoo rite of possession by the god became the standard of American performance in rock and roll. Elvis Presley, Little Richard, Jerry Lee Lewis, James Brown, Janis Joplin, Tina Turner, Jim Morrison, Johnny Rotten, Prince, they let themselves be possessed not by any god they could name, but by the spirit they felt in the music. Their behavior in this possession was something Western society had never before tolerated." So voodoo is just an example of a demonic religious practice that incorporates music. And when you think about this idea on the flip side of being a Christian and listening to worship music and being filled with the Holy Spirit, feeling the Holy Spirit moving in you, you think the opposite for the demonic. I mean, what is indwelling these people if they are summoning these spirits that are coming into them and using them as a vessel? And that's the bottom line, is because we are a vessel, we are either a vessel for the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of God, or we are a vessel for something else. And if we're not careful, if we're not very conscious of what we're allowing into our eyes and ears, we could be that vessel for the enemy. And especially if you have fractures or you have trauma in your life, you have unresolved spiritual issues, and or if you're not a Christian, if you don't have the blood of Jesus Christ over you, you are open prey to the enemy. And the people that are in these higher echelons of society, these so-called elitists, they are the ones that know this psychology to a T. They have been perfecting this idea of mind control, utilizing music, drugs, lights, etc., for decades. I would even venture to say for centuries, maybe even millennia. And when you look at this, it's no surprise that society pushes out these festivals, whether it be Burning Man or Coachella, or, you know, even concerts. We've seen a lot of concerts within this last year. I touched on Astroworld, but even moving forward from Astroworld, we've seen concerts with Taylor Swift, who people don't remember the concert. They have amnesia and they're walking away and they're throwing up, or their heart is racing, or they, you know, experience some sort of memory loss, it's very strange. And many of us, like myself, have been pointing out that there is apparent, you know, witchcraft being done on stage with Taylor Swift. She's got witches in robes in a circle doing all sorts of things. And, you know, her ties to Anton LaVey potentially and Zena LaVey. I did a whole podcast on Taylor Swift, so go back and listen to that if you're interested. But Ariana Grande recently was doing an interview, a podcast interview, and she is playing this part in Wicked. And she is playing a witch, but in this interview, she talks about people coming to her so she can read tarot cards with them. And she says she's a literal witch and she throws up the devil sign as she says it. So got Ariana Grande, you've got Lana Del Rey, where she was doing a concert and the whole crowd fell over. I mean, you guys, I could go on and on. I know that there is a video out with Justin Timberlake that just came out. And this is really interesting because that whole video, it's totally demonic. It's really, really dark, which is surprising for him because he hasn't really had a whole lot of music videos like that. But I had someone reach out to me privately on my Instagram page, and they said that they actually worked on the set, and they can't mention their name, but they were there on the set in wherever it was in Los Angeles or Hollywood. And they said it was a literal ritual that was going down. So take that with a grain of salt. I mean, I think we've heard this on and off for over the years, and we know that the music industry has some ties to the demonic. Now think about Beyonce. Beyonce has been accused by an ex-drummer that she participates in witchcraft. She even has altars. Sasha Fierce, she calls up her altar when something comes over her. This spirit takes her on and she becomes Sasha Fierce. So many artists do that. Roman with Nicki Minaj. Madonna, I had a friend that recently went to her concert in Los Angeles, and you know, she's not a Christian. She went and wanted to see her, and for her, it was so repulsive, which is saying a lot because she can kind of handle a lot. And she said it was literally like they were having an orgy on the stage. And she started singing one of her songs that quotes Revelation, I think 13, talking about the beast. And so what are these people doing at these concerts, you guys? You've got the lights. You've got people on drugs. You've got people that are drunk. You have them invoking this music, chanting music, all sorts of things going on, the frequencies that impact people, their emotions, right? What is the emotions? That's part of the soul. And so the enemy is able to get people in kind of a semi-meditative hypnotic state, and they can implement brainwashing. So I have another article I pulled up from academic.com, and it's a journal article. It's called Musical Hypnosis, Sound and Selfhood, From Mesmerism to Brainwashing. But it says here in the summary, music has long been associated with trance states, but very little has been written about the modern Western discussion of music as a form of hypnosis or brainwashing. However, from Mesmer's use of glass harmonica to the supposed dangers of subliminal messages in heavy metal, the idea that music can overwhelm listeners' self-control has been a recurrent theme. In particular, the concepts of automatic response and conditioned reflex have been the basis for a model of physiological psychology in which self has been depicted as vulnerable to external stimuli such as music. And I don't think we even need to know from a journal, from a scientific journal, that music influences us and impacts us. In fact, going back to ancient times, how music was used, shamanic music, which I talked about briefly, is this idea of ritual music used in religious and spiritual ceremonies. Now, shamanism is this idea of kind of a mediator between the spiritual world and humanity. And when you look at shamanic music, it's using various means of music to bring about a rhythm. And sometimes there's an emphasis on the voices too. But what happens is the music is supposed to alter a listener's state of mind. And so this, again, it goes back to the mind. You guys, it's about manipulating your soul, which is your mind, your will, and emotions. And so if the enemy can manipulate you and have repetitive music going on and on and on in your head, it can impact you specifically over a period of time, but it can impact you even one or two times. Going back to shamanism, the shaman is literally not just there for a musical role, but he is the medium, like I said, in spirit possession. And this goes back to the ancient Old Testament of scripture, because there has always been a mediator prior to Christ, and Christ is now our mediator. But you look at Moses. Moses was a mediator between, he was an intercessor between God and mankind. And until Jesus came, they needed a high priest. They needed somebody to go to God on behalf of them. And now the same is true in the evil world. You want to have someone mediate between you and the spiritual realm. And a shaman does just that. So in these shamanic rituals, the purpose and the motive is to bring about this kind of active journey within the spiritual world. And it also shows that the shaman has particular power, right? It is a different altered state of mind. And so I use shamanism and this idea of spirit possession as an example, because when you look at artists, whether it be Doja Cat, who again is a really good example of Satanism and witchcraft in the music industry, she has an album out called Demons, and they are literally shamans for their music. So they are invoking the spirit, whatever spirit that is, to indwell them. And they take the audience on a spiritual journey, much like a shaman would take someone, themselves included, on this spiritual journey to the spirit world. And so this is where it gets really crazy, because we naively think that if we go to a concert, we listen to some music, that, you know, everything's fine. We're not going to be influenced by that at all. And yet in our naivete, we don't realize that, you know, if the hedge is down, if a hedge is broken, the serpent will bite. And not that I want everyone to be paranoid and to go out and say, oh, I can't listen to anything. I mean, I've had people say that a lot, and I get it. I mean, it gets frustrating because you're like, I can't listen to anything anymore, it seems like. But is that such a bad thing? You know, with knowledge comes awareness. And when you know better, you do better. And so now, as you look at some of the choices you make with music, think about it a little harder, pray about it, ask God to, you know, show you if this is something that you need to be involved in, because I don't think anybody would willingly step into a concert or go to an outdoor festival if they really knew the ramifications spiritually. And I think this is part of the delusion that the enemy has provided on the world, is normalizing these types of events, these concerts, and just saying it's harmless fun, it's entertainment, right? Don't worry about it. It's just a song. It's just a concert. Well, down the road, then you start to see people who are suffering with anxiety, or it worsens addictions, or God forbid, you know, something happens at that concert because so many people are inducted into this kind of hypnotic state and using drugs and alcohol and, you know, the hypnotic beats and the lights. It's interesting to note also that there was a concert that Beyonce did. It was probably a year ago, but I remember the stage, and on the stage it said either hypnosis or mind control. And it had the stereotypical black and white kind of portal looking spinning. And apparently on this Renaissance tour, it was the phrase, whoever controls the media controls the mind. And I think that's actually a Jim Morrison quote, and it's so true, because whoever does own the media controls the mind. And guys, this is where we're at. I think maybe 15, 20 years ago, we could be kind of in this state of ignorance is bliss. But at this point, ignorance isn't bliss. And I really take the stance that for those of us that are believers in Christ, he is peeling us away from Babylon. He is saying, come out of her, my people, come out of mystery Babylon, come out of this culture that is having you it be involved with some of these things. You don't want this. And for me, it's kind of like a peeling away, you know, it's like prying my fingers off the world and turning my face to God and what he calls us to do. And while I don't want to be one of those people that are like, you can't listen to anything, what I will say is a lot of it is something that we shouldn't be listening to. And it can influence us for the negative. It really, really can. So kind of going back to some of the psychology of music, which is really interesting, is just the idea that music has this powerful psychological effect and it can improve your health. I mean, there are certain, I know there's been a lot of studies and there's a lot more people that are proficient in talking about frequencies, but there's been studies that say certain frequencies are really healing. And I think the Bible even alludes to that, you know, even in heaven, there are songs being sung, there are harps being played, there are angels singing. And many of the old patriarchs would sing. You think of Moses, he was such a leader. And after they crossed the Red Sea, it was a song of Moses and Miriam, his sister, the prophetess. And when you go into Revelation, what is being sung in the heavens is a song of Moses. So there's so many ties into the Bible with music and how it can be beneficial. But with that said, it can also be the negative too. And you can kind of envision it, because I'm sure there's certain music for you guys with me nowadays, especially, but certain music just kind of put my like nerves on end. You know, it gets me kind of agitated. I used to listen to certain music when I go to the gym and it would get me kind of pumped up. So even in that, you would like really feel the energy of music. And that right there shows you that there is something about it that impacts you psychologically, physiologically, can impact you. And you are moved by it. You are stirred by it. It can provoke something in you, whether it's a good thing or a bad thing. And researchers and psychologists and so-called scientists know this. And this is why they put people up like the Beyoncés and the Justin Timberlake and the, you know, even think of JoJo Siwa. She started out as this kind of squeaky clean girl and got all the little girls to love her. And now she's like, I don't even know what she is anymore. She had somebody living with her when she was 16 in her parents' home. And now she's like, I think she's bi. I don't know what she is at this point. But you can see how the music industry uses these artists to manipulate society. And even when you look at the Beatles, I mean, the Beatles craze was nuts. And so many people were impacted by the Beatles and Elvis Presley. And I know my generation, it was when I was young, it was New Kids on the Block. But I remember as a kid just being like, oh my gosh, I love them. You know, they're so amazing. I mean, that's Justin Timberlake. He was New Kids on the Block. It moves you. And so they use this to manipulate people and it impacts our moods. Like I said, psychologically, music can influence your thoughts, your feelings, and behaviors. And it is used to bring about this type of power. It's kind of crazy. So I wanted to touch on a couple of more things when looking at music. What's really interesting when you look at music in terms of children, you can start to see why kindergarten and preschool, they use a lot of songs to help teach children, because there is such an impact on music with kids. And I cover a lot of mind control MKUltra on this podcast because I think it touches on every facet of humanity. It touches on you and I, touches on, you know, what we see every day and what the news is pumping out there and social media and music and all of that. We are all under some sort of mind control because of our society and the propaganda and agendas that they're pushing. And the more we become aware of it and understand how it works, I believe that we can break that we can take control of our mind and renew it in the Word of God. And in that, there is a power because we are sharp, we are aware, we are vigilant. And if we don't know what's hurting us, how can we come up against it? How can we come to an understanding that there may be a problem without recognizing what is causing that problem or could be potentially impacting that problem? So when we look at kids and we think about how mind control programming is used with music on children too, there's a lot of research done there because the brain is, you know, that age-old story is like a sponge. And so music can impact the mental health and the programming of children. When children are young and they're programmed with songs, that's why all of us still remember our ABCs and, you know, Mary Had a Little Lamb and all those songs, because there's something in the brain that, and the way it's stored, that makes the connection deeper. It's an emotional response. It's the cadence. It's the rhythm. It's all of it. It's really very interesting, because there's been studies with people that have Alzheimer's and dementia, and for some reason they can remember songs in some of the cases. And so there's something different that happens in the brain. In fact, I have a story of a young girl that I worked with, and this was about 10 years ago, and she had a traumatic brain injury, and we were trying to work on her learning to walk again. And I worked with her every day, and she could not talk and carry on a conversation, but she could sing songs. She remembered songs and would sing songs all day long. And it was so cute, actually. She was the sweetest girl. And, you know, it was just really interesting, though, because it just shows how the brain works. She couldn't have a conversation with me or speak in sentences, but she could sing songs. And that's how she ended up communicating, really. Really interesting how the mind works. And my point in bringing that story up is because when you look at mind control programming, when they institute songs, like Fantasia was a Disney movie that was utilized for mind control programming in MKUltra victims. And the sounds and the music and the cadences and the rhythms were utilized to create and deepen the mind control programming in the victims. Because of this reason, there's something in the brain that allows it to be connected on so many different levels versus just speaking it out. So really interesting stuff. And you can see why music is so important in these kind of end days, I guess you could call it, because as we move towards these latter days, we see that so much of the music industry is being infiltrated by this kind of demonic. And so there was a man named John Todd. And if you look up John Todd on Wikipedia, it will say that he is a conspiracy theorist. And so John Todd was claiming to be a former occultist who was born into a witchcraft family. And he converted to Christianity, and he put out all these tapes talking about what he knew about the Illuminati and all sorts of pagan witchcraft rituals and things like that. Well, he put out some tapes that talked about the music industry. And I'm going to read here. This is from Wikipedia, so take that with a grain of salt. But he says he claimed to have given, as a member of the Illuminati, $8 million to Pastor Chuck Smith of Calvary Chapel to launch the Christian rock industry, which Todd said was a satanic invention to entrap Christian young people in rock music and its demonic beat. He claimed that Falwell had been bribed by the Illuminati with a $50 million donation. And so when you start to listen to some of his tapes that he made, he talks about a lot of stuff that other people have talked about. I mean, his claims are not that far-fetched, but basically he was saying that in the music industry, they would make a master record. And they would take this master record. Okay, this was in the time of records. For those of you that are like, what are you talking about? Go way back when there were records. And they would take this master record and bring it up into the temple room of these major publications and major record labels. And they would take this master into a temple room and place it on an altar. And these top-level occultists would come in and conjure up spirits to follow the music as it was played on this master. So basically what they were doing was they were attaching these spirits to this master record. And as these records were duplicated, the music would spread out into different homes and be played, and these spirits would be released into these homes. Now, it sounds kind of crazy. However, go back to the verse that we read about King David and how his music allowed the evil spirit to leave. So why wouldn't we think that evil spirits, if they can leave by good godly music like King David was playing, why can they not be conjured in? That's something that we have to reconcile and think about. And I think that a lot of us just don't want to go down that road. We're just like, I want to live in ignorance because it's bliss, right? And not have to think about all this stuff. And yet we have to look back and say, what are we listening to? What are we allowing into our minds and our eyes? What are we watching and seeing and listening to that could potentially be keeping us in bondage? And I know that music can really bring about or even deepen a lot of anxious thoughts, depression, and can bring about anger and rage, fits of rage. You couple that with psychotropics, drugs, lights, and alcohol, and you are just an open vessel for whatever they are pushing out into the crowds. So take Coachella, for instance. You had people like Lana Del Rey, which I mentioned, and you had Doja Cat there. Those two clearly have demonic attachments to them. Lana Del Rey has said she's a witch and she put a curse on Donald Trump. Doja Cat, just look at her recent album. They are clearly being used as vessels for the demonic. And so you put them on a stage and you have them singing whatever songs they're singing that are influenced by whatever spirits are influencing them. And they're singing that into a crowd of people that are most likely drunk or on drugs, because a lot of people that go there are, you guys, I'm not trying to make a blanket statement, but most people that go to these concerts have had a drink, have had a pill, have had, you know, some weed or something to kind of let loose. And the mind is open and it's highly, highly suggestible. And so whatever they're pushing out into the crowds and having the crowds chant and say and sing, if you notice, a lot of these songs are repetitive. Some of these songs you're like, why am I even singing this? I just heard a song recently and I was listening to the words and I was like, oh my gosh, why would I ever sing this? Why would I ever sing this? This is like so bad. And so when you start to look at it that way, it starts to make sense. And I think at the end of the day, we just have to be smarter and wiser. And so if what John Todd has said about the music industry is true, then it is something to consider. He's not the only one that has spoken about this. And many of you have heard about backmasking, which is where you play the song in reverse and you hear subliminal messages. In fact, this goes right along the lines of the law of reversal, which Aleister Crowley, the 666, the Beast, who the Beatles loved and other bands revered, he talked about doing everything in reverse. And so when you play these music records back, and one of them is from Led Zeppelin, I think it's Stairway to Heaven, you can hear words that talk about Satan and the devil and things like that. And it's just really strange, because if those are subliminal messages being planted into our minds as we listen to this music, how would we be aware of that unless we played the record backwards, which I think a lot of people did because they were like, is this true? Yeah, it's true. It's totally true. And so they plant these messages in there. And I will just read the definition of what backmasking is. Backmasking is a recording technique that can be defined as a deliberate encoding of subliminal messages onto audio materials, such as words conveying a secret message. They are recorded in such a way that they can only be heard and understood when the track is played backwards. And so some of the examples, like I said, are Led Zeppelin, even though Robert Plant denied it. You can see, and all you have to do is do a deep dive on Led Zeppelin, and you will see all of their occultic ties. In fact, there are so many bands that are tied to occultism, and it's crazy how now we're so awake to this. And when we move into Christian music, we have to start asking the same questions, you guys. What are these Christian artists singing about? Are they singing about themselves and their highly emotional spiritual response to their song? Or are they singing and giving praise and worship to Jesus? Like, there is a difference. So when we look at Christian music, and going back to what Wikipedia said about John Todd and how he talked about infiltrating the Christian music genre, you have to ask the question, why would the enemy, why would the devil not hit Christian music, right? We're learning that Satan has infiltrated the churches, the seminary schools. Why would he leave Christian music untouched as well? And it's a little harder to spot with Christian music. That's why my rule of thumb is you need to pray about it. You need to ask the Lord if this is somebody that you should be listening to, supporting, giving money to. And what I recommend is listening to their songs, not only that, but also seeing who their record labels are, looking at the symbolism, looking who they hang out with. Do they stand up for Christ? I can think of Lauren Daigle multiple times where she's been, and I love her music, you guys, don't get me wrong. I've loved so many of her songs, and I've just come to a point right now where I'm like, you know, I feel like she's compromised, because there's been so many opportunities when asked at award shows and things like that for her to stand up and say, Jesus is my savior. He is why I do this. And yet you're not really seeing that. And I'm not here to tell you guys what to do or not to do. It's up to you to figure this out. And I say that all the time because I truly mean it. We have to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. And no matter what anyone says, at the end of the day, you have to take this information and you have to apply it to your life in a way that you feel the Lord is calling you to do. Because while I'm presenting the fact that music can be utilized by the enemy, we also know that music can be utilized to heal, and it's soothing and it's good. It's kind of funny because my background was music, and growing up, I always sang in the choir and I played the violin and the piano. In fact, my major in college initially was music, and I love it. I love music. I love playing music and listening to music. And so to kind of unfold all of this and go down this rabbit trail is disheartening. And yet at the same time, I feel like I would rather err on the side of caution and know that I am protecting my mind and my will and my emotions from the enemy. I'd rather do that than listen to songs and go to concerts where I could potentially be opening myself up to a spiritual attack. And that's really the bottom line, you guys. A lot of people say, what kind of music do you listen to? And truth be told, I don't listen to a whole lot of music much anymore. I loved reggae, and I still sometimes listen to reggae every now and again. And I listen to classical music and hymns, classical hymns, and some Christian artists I listen to that are not mainstream, but it's very few and far between. And I'm really cautious about what I allow into my mind. And I just encourage you guys today, as we kind of wrap this podcast up, I encourage you just to test everything. Even when you're online and people are posting reels and just pictures and images of Doja Cat looking like a demon, just be really careful about what you allow into your mind. Be careful what you allow into your ears, because they are essentially the portals to your body. That's the access points that the enemy has to get in to manipulate you. Think back to the garden. It was Eve's eyes that betrayed her, and it was the lie in her ear of the serpent. And so the enemy knows that if he can get in your mind and he can tempt you and tantalize you and get you to go a different direction and let your guard down, then there is a chance that he can have a foothold in your life. And you just don't want that. You don't want that at this stage, because what's going to happen in the days ahead is there is going to be this great falling away. There's going to be so much deception. There already is, but there's going to be a lot more deception. And if we are not on our A game and we are not sharp and just pruning ourselves away from some of this worldly stuff, we don't need to go to a Taylor Swift concert, you guys. I mean, you can give it up, right? Peeling away some of these things and allowing yourself to be just more discerning and wise in the days ahead is really going to benefit you, and the less likely you will be to be swept away. So I hope you guys learned a lot from this, and thank you so much for listening. I'm just so encouraged by all of you, your positive comments and your feedback. And you know, if you need anything, please reach out. I'm here. I do Christian counseling and coaching, and I'd love to work with you. Also, I have my Rumble Bible studies up there on Rumble, Eyes on the Right Bible Study. Feel free to listen, or if you want to join in to a live study, just let me know. But I hope you guys all have a great day, and we will see you next time.